think we've come to that part of our program where it gives me great pleasure to introduce Robert from Santa Maria.
Hi, everybody. My name is Robert, and I am an alcoholic. And it's a pleasure to be here, and it's a pleasure to be asked to speak, especially right here. My home group is a Tuesday night big book study in this room. It's one of the best meetings. It's the best meeting in Alcoholics Anonymous, as far as I'm concerned. And if it isn't the best meeting, you might want to look for another one. That's what I was taught. You know, I walked in November 14th, 1994, with my best friend and my son. He was 17, and he was 9 feet tall, and he was bulletproof. And so when I looked at him, and I said, "Dude, you don't want to do this no more. You don't want to do this." He looked at me, "Why?" He goes, "I want to be like you." He goes, "Nobody will fuck with you. Nobody will talk to you. Nobody will look at you in the eye. Nobody will do this. I want to be like you." And I said, "No, you don't. No, you don't." Said, "Why?" Well, I was 39 years old. I was working at a nuclear power plant. I was in a lot of trouble. And I was running out of gas. You know? How I got to that moment in time was this little old lady from Pasadena. No. My mom was 21 years old. She was about 95 pounds, Mexican, right off the fields, and she found honky-tonk. And that, back in the days, she loved sailor boys, and she started partying with the sailors. And one day she found herself pregnant. She was 21 years old, walking and rolling. And she was like, "Whoa." So she didn't know what to do, so she tapped this dude on the shoulder. His name was Chuck Tyler. He was from an Okie. He was an Okie. He was stationed over here in the Bay Area. And he did the right thing. He went married her. And he was excited about having a son, you know. And so they did the deed, and then I popped up. Well, I popped up in a really hard way because she didn't know that you don't drink or use when you're having babies. Back then in the 50s, this is mid-50s, you know, I was craving cigarettes and Budweiser before I even knew I was craving cigarettes and Budweiser. Just to give you an idea. Okay. Chuck, he was a good old guy, young, and he tried, but what happened with Chuck and me is he thought he was going to have a little boy, and I popped up, and I went, "Howdy," you know. He looked at me like, what the, and so he had given me his name and his dad's name. So my name is Robert Tyler, okay? I'm kind of like a redneck Mexican, just to give you an idea of how I got here. You know? But when I was about almost turning five or seven, I don't remember. I was a little shit. He took me with him to a job interview, and along the way, he stopped at the store, and he bought himself a Coke, and he bought me a Coke. And he bought me a candy bar, and then, you know, he got his Coke, and he took a drink out of it, and he put it, and he dropped it underneath the seat. And then he handed me my Coke, and I took my Coke, and I took my candy. He said, "I'll be right back." And I said, "Okay, cool," you know, as a little kid. And he went in, and it took a lot longer than he thought. And so I drank my Coke, and I ate my candy, and I sat there, and I waited. And evidently, I guess I got thirsty. But I remember that he had a Coke. So I went down, and underneath the seat, I found his Coke. And I popped that sucker open, and I drank it. And he walked out of that interview and walked into a real shit show. Because it was a bottle of Thunderbird. That was my first bottle of Thunderbird. First, that's when I started, okay? So just to give you an idea how I got to this moment in time. Because what happened is it triggered something that I didn't understand. It triggered something that I didn't understand and the schools didn't understand, okay? By the time I was in third grade, he had died of cirrhosis of the liver. And I was angry. I was sitting there with my mom, early August, and we're burying him from this disease that I didn't know was a disease. And we buried him, and I was standing there with my mom, crying, and OG, who was my uncle, grabbed a hold of me and shook me pretty hard and said, "You know what? You're the man of the house now. You take care of your mom. If you need anything, let me know." And I'm 7 years old, and I'm getting this right now. Boom. It's on. And I am now the adult in the family. You know? And then between my mom and Chuck, they had four other kids. These are going to be my little brothers and sisters for a while. And so we ran as best we could. Mom was done. But I was going to back her ass up all the way. Mom was done. She lost Chuck. She lost a lot. Everything went to shit. And I was going to have to back her up. And it was not going to be a pretty sight. The gift that I got was I was as big as I am now then. For some reason, God knew I had to be as a big boy. And I was going to have to use it. But I also didn't know how to do it. But I remember that bag. I remember that bottle. And I remember the courage that it gave me. So I went back into that bag and I went and had another bottle. Okay. School didn't know what to do with me. And by the time I was in seventh grade, I walked. I walked out of seventh grade. Fuck you guys, the whole nine yards. I'd already flipped off God and I've already flipped off school. And I'm going to run. And then I started running. And then just like they say, I was making more money than the teachers real quick, real fast. But I was having to dodge the bullets. I was having to do a lot of different things. It was not good. That's how I got started. And I was lucky about one thing. I'll tell you that one right now. And it is I didn't get caught. Never got caught. I put some people in front of me. A lot of things went down, but I never got caught. None, never, okay? And I ran like that for quite a while. Pushing cars, pushing bikes, doing the whole nine yards. First Harley when I was 12. Boom, it was rock and roll, you know? And I'm, at that point, I am what they call trying to build a tolerance, a high tolerance for alcohol, because I wanted to be the last man standing anytime something went down. And so I was out to build a high tolerance, me and the guys I was rolling with. And we were out there doing it. And we were building a higher and higher tolerance than you could imagine. You know, it was just insane. And we started rolling with it and everything else. By the time I was 17, I had already discovered America, by the way. They were cute, and they just loved being with me. You know? And so one of them said, "Robert, what? I'm pregnant." I go, "What? I'm pregnant. What do you mean?" She was 17 years old. I was seven. No, she was 16. I was 17. We're going to have a baby. And so OG has been talking to me and helping me up to get to this point. He goes, "Dude, you need to get a job." And I go, "What?" He goes, "You need to get a job." I go, "What kind of job?" He starts talking to me about, you know, careers and different things. And so I said, "Oh, I want to do this. I want to do that." So he gave me introduced me to what they call a journeyman. A journeyman in the trades. And they will teach you what you need to know to be in that trade. He introduced me to a welder. I liked it. He introduced me to a mechanic. I liked it. He introduced me to a few others, and I got good at it. I could take a car, turn it around, and flip it, and you wouldn't even know. You know, I could make them fast. I could do all kinds of cool things. But during that process, what I did like was electricity. I liked playing with electricity. They call me a Sparky. I told him, dude, I don't want to be a Sparky. He goes, no problem. Turn me on to another journeyman, electrician. Now that guy's going to pull me under his wing and he's going to teach me everything I can about electricity and how to be an electrician and everything else. But one thing you got to know about electricians, they love to drink and they can party. You know? And the only thing I got in my favor, the only thing I got in my favor with these damn electricians is I'm 19 years old. I can drink every one of them under the table, and I can outlast every one of them. I could outdrink them, outrun them, outgun them, whatever the hell it was. I was 19 years old. And so I ran with these dudes, and they started to teach me my trades. Okay? And so what happened was I discovered a double life. See, I didn't want that little girl to see this. So I had this life over here for the little girl, you know, and I had this life over here for the little boy. You know, I had gotten a lot of trouble, and I was in my mid-20s, and I figured out it's San Jose. See, I was born and raised in San Jose. And San Jose was the problem. Now, what am I going to do about it? I talked to OG again. And he goes, dude, there's a job over there on the Central Coast, and they need somebody just like you. I go, what do you mean? He goes, someone that doesn't give a shit, someone that doesn't care, and they need you. So, okay, cool, I'll go. So I went and signed up, and I got a job at PG&E. Back in the 80s, they'd gone through a whole bunch of stuff in the 70s and the 60s about nuclear power and all this other shit. And they were trying to start up a power plant. They asked me to come in, and they told me, you're going to have to go through a picket line. I go, what? Threw a bat in the back seat, grabbed this, grabbed that, got into my car, and let's go. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to learn. And I got through the picket line with no problem. Not a problem. And I got through that picket line, and I went in there, and I got an interview, and then I got the job. Okay, now it's a nuclear power plant, and I'm going to have to learn how to work at a nuclear power plant. And guess what? They test. And so I'm like, what do you mean? You can't do that in here. So I doubled up on my alcohol, and I doubled up on my cigarettes, because those were keeping me, those things out there, you know, that aren't outside issues, by the way. You know, a drug is a drug. Alcohol is a drug. I don't give a shit what you tell me. Okay. So, but I'm going to have to put it down, and I'm going to double up on my cigarettes, and I'm going to double up on my alcohol. I'm smoking 2 packs a day. If you ever smoke 2 packs a day, you're going to know what that means, because you get anxiety attacks. You get depression. You get this. You get that. You get all kinds of crazy shit. And then when you start doubling up on your alcohol, because now I got jingle, a lot. And these people over here, they got jingle. We want to drink. So there's a lot of jingle. And they need a guy like me. So I discover Harry's Bar and Grill. Okay, so there's my crew. I got my crew. Harry's Bar and Grill. When I went into outages, I hired those bartenders, and they came in and they rock and rolled with me. You know, and that I ran like that. I ran like that for the next 10 plus years, you know. And out there, if you know anything about that place, you're going to work 16-hour days, 7 days a week. And if you do the math, there's not much time left in the day, okay. But we would go get off work. We'd go down to Harry's, and we'd close the place. Now it's 2 o'clock. Now to do the math. Now I got 2 hours to go home, clean up, and get back ready to go back to work. You know, so that's about a crash and burn as you're going to get. You know, that's about as crash and burn as you're going to get. And I went and ran like that for a long time. Okay? And then I started to crash and burn a little bit. And that's when my son ended up in the hospital for alcohol poisoning. And I went and picked him up, got off work, and I said, what's the matter with you, dude? And he goes, Dad, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, okay, well, then don't do it again. He goes, okay. I go, that's just a bad hangover, dude, get over it. And he goes, okay. You know, and we went lickety-split again, and then all of a sudden, boom, he's back in the hospital. And I went, what the heck? And I went and got him. I said, dude, what's the matter with you? He goes, no, Dad. And I go, so I went to Human Resources, I asked for help. And they said to me, monkey see, monkey do. As long as you're going to do it, he's going to do it. What? And they're, do what? I go, he doesn't see, I'm working 12, 14-hour days. I'm doing this. He doesn't see that shit. He sees the alcohol. He sees the party. He sees all the good things that are going down at Harry's. He wants to be a part of that. I said, no, dude, no. My son meant more to me than anything else. Anything. He meant to just as much to me as my mom did. You know? My mom, I backed my mom up like you ain't never seen. You know? I ended up in juvenile hall when I was 14 years old from putting a man in the hospital who touched my mom. Now, if she lets you touch her, it was good. I didn't give a shit. But if I heard you smack her, you're over. I don't care what happens. I don't care who touches me, what happens. I was a big boy and I can put you in the hospital if you're lucky. If you're lucky. And they came, got me, they put me in the juvenile hall. And they said, you know what? Hey, you know, you're out of control. And I said, what are you talking about? So they sent my mom, went for my mom, and my mom came and got me. And she, before she got me, you know, she stood back behind the bars a little bit. And she goes, you better settle up, straighten up, young man. You know, I'm going to look at you, and I look at her, what's my mom? She goes, you don't straighten up, but tell your dad. And I went, what? She goes, I'm going to tell your dad. I go, my dad's dead. She goes, no, he's not. That wasn't your dad. What? So I met my dad. My dad, he looked at me, and he said, you want my name? And I go, no. He goes, why not? I go, you weren't here when I needed it. What the fuck would I want it now? That's how I was raised. So by the time my son came along, I was pretty hard. I was pretty, you know, my way or the highway kind of thing. You know? And alcohol's going to back me up. I stopped drinking Thunderbird and started drinking Crown Royal. Stopped drinking Crown Royal and started drinking, you name it, whatever it was. I spent from the time I was in my mid-20s to the time I walked into Alcoholics Anonymous trying to control my drinking with every alcohol, every cigarette, everything you could think of. And it wasn't working, you know. I was on my Harleys, and I'd be, you know those games we do? You wake up, you look, and you go, oh, fuck. You know, you come out of a blackout, you're somewhere where you're not supposed to be, things are going along, you gotta go find your bike, you gotta do this, blah, 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 blah. And that went on and went on. You know? And so when I walked in to ask for help from my son, they said I needed to take him to Alcoholics Anonymous. Well, I couldn't go to Alcoholics Anonymous because I couldn't walk to Alcoholics Anonymous. So they took me to detox. That I didn't know I had the detox, and they were teaching me shit in there, and they helped me get in, and they handed me a big book, and then they handed me a schedule, and I walked into Alcoholics Anonymous on November 14th, 1994, with a young man who was 17 years old, and he was as big as I was, if not bigger. And I walked in with this beautiful, beautiful lady who was my best friend. She was my clerk. You know, we walked in, and we walked into Alcoholics Anonymous on November 14th, 1994, in the village of Arroyo Grande, upstairs, and that's where I met the village people. Now, the village people are a trip. They're a trip. But I walked in, and I heard some shit, and I didn't raise my hand, so I want to welcome the newcomers and tell you, keep coming back. You know, it works. It really does. But you got to want what we have, and you're willing to go to any lengths. It says it in the book, and it is going to see a lot about the book from this point on. I'm going to be mentioning the book because the book is the only thing that can keep me sober. I've tried everything. I've tried everything. You name it. I don't give a damn. What 12-step program you talk about, I've tried it. I don't give a shit about whatever you want to come up with, every idea you want to come with. I tried it. But me and my son and my best friend walked in and we sat down and I heard some stuff and I saw some laughter. And it kind of got my, what the heck is this about? I'd never knew about Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I could play, I can tell you that straight up. I tried to get clean and sober more than once, but I didn't know what it was about. I just thought you'd go on the wagon. I don't know if you guys have ever went on the wagon, but I used to go on the wagon. And then after I went on the wagon and I got better, now I can have a drink again. So when I walked in Alcoholics Anonymous and they said, no mas, I'm like, okay, hour's up. They grabbed my hands. Good thing they did that. That's why I figured out why we grab hands. See, they kind of messed me up. They grabbed my hands, and I'm standing there like, you know. And you know what they did? They grabbed my mouth. You know what they did? You know what they said? They said that word. He said, God. And I almost, but they wouldn't let go. They wouldn't let go. You know? And it was over, and we got out, and we left, and we went out to breakfast. And we're having breakfast right at McClintock's over there in the Rio Grande. And my son's sitting there, we're eating. He's just, he's like 19 years older. He's just, you know, 17. He's just, I'm eating, and my best friend's sitting there eating, and the bartender comes over and says, hey, you know, usual? And I go, no. See, my usual was a pinch of tomato juice, a couple of pieces of celery, and a bottle of vodka. You know, that was my normal Bloody Mary vegetable breakfast, you know? Because I had my vegetables, I had my tomato juice, and I had my vodka. And that's how I started. You know? And I said, no. And then we kind of sit there a little bit longer, and my best friend looks over at me, and she goes, what do you think? I go, what? She goes, what do you think about Alcoholics Anonymous? And I'm sitting here, and I look at her just like I'm looking at you guys, I swear to God. I looked at her straight in the eye, and I said, you know what? It can't be that easy. She goes, what do you think? You're going to go back? I go, I don't know. And I went home, and I thought about it, and I went back. I went back. You know why I went back? This is for the newcomers now. I'm talking to the newcomers from this point on, and it's important to understand. You know, it's important to understand. This is what happened to me. This is what happened to me. Okay? I knew I was powerless over alcohol, and I knew my life was unmanageable. I'd already proved that, you know. And I'd already tried to go on the wagon. I couldn't do it. But somehow, some way, I looked up there and I saw that shit on the wall and I said, it can't be that easy. I'm going to find out. So step two, I came to believe, and to this moment in time, I still come to believe Alcoholics Anonymous could restore me to sanity. See, I don't have a power greater than myself. And at that point, I wasn't really ready for a power greater than myself, you know. But I was willing to go to any lengths to get sober. And I came to believe that that could do it. So I went back again, and I met this dude. He says, I'm going to be your temporary sponsor. Now, you know this dude. He's around here, and you'll know him because he's as big as I am, and if you look at him in the eye, he's going to ask you, did you pray today? Yeah. You know? Did you pray today? He does that because he knows I don't worship. He knows I didn't pray. See, his higher power and my higher power are two different things. The beautiful thing about Alcoholics Anonymous is you can have any God you want. See, his God tells him to go ahead and lay down and pray and worship. My God tells me to get into action. The God that I came to believe in and found in Alcoholics Anonymous says he will help those that help themselves. But if you're not willing to help yourself or you're not willing to go to any lengths, he's just going to watch you get down and go cuckoo. And you see it in here all the time. It's called nuts, not using the steps. You know? And he knows that. That's how I ran with this dude. Me and him took 10 months to go through the steps. We did the steps in 10 months. You know? And while we were going through the steps and we got to step 3, I looked at him when he looked at me and I go, dude, he goes, what? I go, how do I know? He goes, how do you know what? I go, how do I know if it's my will or God's will? And he looked at me and he goes, dude, if you're drinking, that's your will. If you're not drinking, that's God's will. I go, that's it? He goes, that's it. Okay, cool, I can do that. He goes, oh, check out this third step prayer too, by the way. Oh, what is it? And I read it. Okay. But I read the next paragraph right after it. And if you ever go to that page 63 and read the third step prayer, right below it, the next paragraph says, you don't have to memorize this, Moon. You just have to understand it. Understanding the third step prayer is the most important thing I've learned in Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you read the third step prayer, it says, relieve me of the bondage of self. See, I'm a real alcoholic. It's all about Robert. Robert needs a pack of cigarettes. Robert's this. Robert. You know, I got to figure out how to get out of self. And I got to learn how to do it fast. You know, because I don't want to go back or now. By the time I hit third step, I didn't want to go back. So I was going to have to do something really deep. First time my whole entire life. I was going to have to do something that was going to blow my mind. If you go to page 64, on the bottom of page 64, there's a paragraph. And that paragraph states, resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else on this planet. Because we are not only bodily and mentally different from our fellows, we are spiritually sick. I was spiritually sick. I had walked away from God when I was 7. I was going to have to take an inventory on that and see what I was so pissed off about. I was going to have to look at my relationship with this God that you guys are talking about. That's when I fired God, believe it or not. I found out through my elders, that's the only person you can fire. I come in here and I hear all these newcomers, I fired the sponsors, motherfucker, I fired this sponsor, oh, I've got this other sponsor, you know. No, that's on you, not them. They tried. They tried to help. You know? They're not God. They're not God. I'm not God. You know? There was a guy that tried to fire me, and I laughed at him so hard, he was on him. I thought he was going to shit. But he, you know, and then he couldn't get rid of me. You know, ask anybody that's fired me what happens. You know, they'll blow your mind. You know? Ask anybody that's fired me what happened. They'll blow your mind. You know? I double up on them. I double up on them and I triple on them, you know, because I know if you're a real alcoholic, you're going to take anything from anybody. You're going to yell at everybody. You know, you're going to go through hell while you're doing your inventory. You know, you're going to get really upset when you look at your character defects and your shortcomings, because I had to. I had to. And I had to look at that resentment. If you read that paragraph, which I'm telling you, it's a very important paragraph, it says resentment. There is no S. It's important to understand that. Because then if you read a little bit further, then it says, in that same paragraph, if you dealt with this resentment towards your higher power, then you can look at resentments. But you got to look at the first one first. You got to deal with that, you know. And I had to look at what my resentment was with God. And I had to dig deep about it. And I had to look at it. And I had to go after it. And I had to talk to my my elders about it. You know, see, the difference between an elder and a sponsor is when I walked in. I had to learn what a sponsor was, by the way. Because when I walked in, my perception of a sponsor was asshole. You know? And I didn't want my elders to be assholes. I thought that whoever's going to be my sponsor has to treat me like an asshole and tell me what to do. And it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I had to look at them and ask them, you know, how to do this resentment. And then it says, if I deal with that resentment and I find a God of my understanding, which I finally found, I can deal with the rest of the resentments. I don't know if you know anything about resentments. If you dealt with resentment, is they go away. They are no longer part of the game. I found a power greater than myself, and I can give it to him, and it doesn't matter what the fuck everybody else did. It doesn't matter what my mom did. It doesn't matter what my daddy did. It doesn't matter. They were humans, and they did the best they could. They really did. They were humans, and they did the best they could. You know, it was up to me. It was up to me, and I was going to have to find this power greater than myself, and I was going to have to fire that son of a gun that I came in with. You know? Because you know what? Turns out, that was King Alcohol. King Alcohol is trying to tell me, you people don't know what the hell you're talking about. You know? I had to fire his ass. I had to fire his ass and pick up a God of my understanding that says, just don't drink, don't use, no matter what. I don't care if your ass falls off. And my life changed. And so we started rocking and rolling, me and my temporary sponsor. You know? Because me and he was young. He just did his steps. Just did his steps. He's only got a little over a year that I do. You know? He had just did his steps, and his sponsor's telling him, you're going to be his temporary sponsor. He didn't know why, and I didn't know why. What we figured out over the years is there's only one sponsor. There's only one sponsor. Okay? That's important to understand. There's only one sponsor. So when I was able to look at that, I was able to realize King Alcohol was my higher power when I walked in. I worshiped King Alcohol. He did everything for me. Every drug, every girl, every woman, every car, every motorcycle. He brought me all that in toys so I could rock and roll and hit the streets hard. You know, that was not God. That was King Alcohol. All the way through, straight up. You know? So I had to fire his ass, and I had to do the rest of the steps, and it took 10 weeks, 10 months. Okay, that was in 1994. So then what happened? See, me and him did this at that point. We stayed tight, but he believed in this, and I wanted to go find out this. Because you know what happened at that point in time? Huh? I wanted to find out what you guys were doing with my dollar. You know? I wanted to find out what you were doing with that dollar. I put that dollar in the basket for a reason. Now, what are you doing with it? And the old timers told me, Robert, come to the business meeting. I told my sponsor, hey, let's go to business. He goes, fuck that, I'm not going in there. Okay, well, I went. Okay. Nothing worse than a bunch of dry drunks trying to figure out how to run a business meeting. It's the damnedest thing you'll ever see. It's the damnedest thing you'll ever see. But I kept doing it. And I kept finding out how those traditions work. Those traditions are probably more important than the steps. You know. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. This book right here that's my book. That's my big book. That book states in there all kinds of stuff about it, you know. And I've had to learn everything about it. I've had to understand what they're talking about, you know. I've had to continue to dig in there. I've had to learn, you know, what the traditions are all about. See, there's an old timer, he's going to tell you, that's how it works, and this is why it works. Whoa, what a concept. Because there is concepts. That's what she was talking about. You know? That's what she was talking about. You know? It's important to understand these things because that bondage of self is going to keep coming back over and over and over. And I'm going to get up and I'm going to think it's King Alcohol or go out. And I got to stay out of self. I don't want to hurt people no more. You know? I want to give back. I want to be a trusted servant, like it says. You know, it says, you know, right there, you know. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, I want to carry the message like I'm doing right now. This is the hardest thing I do in my recovery. Hardest. You may think it's some slick and cool, but this is the hardest thing on the inside that you'll ever see for Robert. But I've learned through this and through that and everything else, why? Why we do it? Not only how we do it, but why we do it. I've learned through this book and the other books and everything else in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, what it takes for a real alcoholic like me to stay out of this. This is what's going to take me down. I can sit in this room on a daily basis and watch a lot of shit show. You know, that's their game, not mine. That's their game, not mine. I want this. I want the traditions. I want the concepts. I want to carry the message, the alcoholic. And I want to do it, and I want to do it in a way that it's beyond my dreams. You know, I get to do things with Alcoholics Anonymous on campouts, and you never get to do that drunk. Because what we do is we stand underneath the red oaks around a big bonfire. We hold hands, and we do it. We hold the hands, and we say it. Guess what we say? God. You know? I've learned that it's just the word. For me, it's called the great outdoors. It's called a good orderly direction. It's called a group of drunks. And when I say a group of drunks, I don't mean the ones in the room. Trust me, the ones in the room are human. They got ulterior motives just like I do. You know? Those people right there that wrote this shit down. It states in the book, right on the get-go, right up the front, it says, we are 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. I have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. But I don't want to go back. So the only way to go is forward. The only way to go forward is to continue to learn. You know, I've gotten involved with what they call the central office. I've gotten involved with GSRs. I've gotten involved with GSO. I've spoke in different countries. I spoke in Toronto. I got to speak in Germany, and I got to speak in Mexico. And then I got to speak a couple other places. I've been privileged because I did what they said. You know, and it all started when they asked me straight up, what page do you want? And I looked at him and I said, the first page. And my sponsor said, that page is blank. And I said, yeah. And then an old timer came up to me after the meeting. He goes, Robert, I go, what? He goes, how come you're on the first page? He goes, why are you on the first page, Robert? Because I can't read. He goes, what do you mean you can't read? You run a nuclear power plant. What's the matter with you? I go, dude, I drank so much, I don't know what happened. What happened is I got a wet brain. You know, most of us get a wet brain, we don't come back. But I pushed on it, and I worked with it, and I got involved, and I kept getting involved with my peers and my brothers and my sisters. And they kept teaching me the book. They teach me how to spell. They teach me what a paragraph is. They teach me what a comma is. They teach me what a period is and how to do these things. And I keep learning. And because of that, because they see, I memorize. See, in the beginning, I memorized how it works because they were going to make me come up here and say it. I memorized the traditions because they were going to make me come up here and say it. And every time I memorized something, they came up and give me something different to read. It was a game. It was a lot of fun, and it was a game. But because of that, and because I did the footwork, and because I did the steps, and because I continued to keep coming back and continue to work and grow with Alcoholics Anonymous, my family, they've changed. They were agnostic. That little boy I was telling you about that meant so much to me, King Alcohol took him when he was 32. That best friend that I came in with, she's the most beautiful woman you ever met. She died nuts in my arms because she couldn't do the steps, not because she couldn't read them. She couldn't find someone to help her do it. You know? She didn't realize that most of the people that we ask don't know how to do it themselves. You know? It's a challenge. It's a challenge. And tell us you don't know. And then we could have something to work on. Tell us you don't understand, and we can explain it to you. But we don't, we can't read your mind, and we can't understand what you, why you're doing these things if you're doing these things over and over and over again. You know? 2 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to call me. King Alcohol's right there. And he's just whispering sweet nothing in your ear. You know? My family, they have a life and they have a power greater than themselves, and they do not come in this room. They've never been in this room. They've never seen me take a chip. They've never seen me. They've never heard me. But they got their own game going on out there. This is my game. This is my game. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't go back out when that little boy died, and I got into service and I talked to another alcoholic 5 minutes after he died. 10 minutes after he was dead, I was in a meeting. You know, because of that, I have a grandson. He's 32 years old. He's 9 feet tall, and he is bulletproof. You know? And he's got two beautiful little kids. One's called Riley, and the other one's called Jaden. I got a granddaughter that her name is Parker. Baddest bitch you're ever going to meet. Don't piss her off. 19 years old, getting ready to go to Cal Poly. Solid. You know? That little boy, he's a gearhead. I'm going to teach him how to be an electrical engineer, maybe a mechanical engineer. But I've learned through the years what that means. You know? That little girl, my princess, she talks to me in ways you guys would never understand. Because when the family gets together, she comes over to me like, fuck, they're drinking again. And I go, I know, don't worry about it, it's cool. She goes, yeah? She goes, how come you don't drink? I go, I don't want to. And you don't have to either. She goes, really? I go, yeah. Well, that's the kind of questions you have. Yeah. That's the kind of questions I have with a little girl, my princess. Yeah. I have several women in here that I sponsor. Some of them I call princess. You know? They keep telling me, men stick with men, women stick with women. Really? I talked to the old timers about that, and I asked that question. They said, Robert, it says right there, I am responsible. When anyone anywhere reaches out for help, I want the hand of AA to be there, and for that, I am responsible. I go, what are they talking about? He goes, they are talking about the predators.
What?
He goes, yeah. If you're sick, then you need to stick with men. If you're sick, maybe you need to stick with women. Men stick with men. Sick men stick with men. Sick women stick with women. The rest of us help each other. You know, I get to carry the message all over the place. You know, when we go camping and I get little kids coming up to me asking me for a hot dog, how many you want? Yeah. I get these little kids like, excuse me, can I have a licorice? Here, take the whole damn thing. Here, ask anybody. I get these kids ripping. You know, mom and dad, they get to have them after I'm done with them. You know? But when we're camping, we're running all over the place, all over the campus, all over the things, doing different things. And every day we stop, we hold hands, and we grab each other, and we say, what? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can. Okay? I can change Robert, but I can't change you. I can help you to understand why you would or need to change, but I cannot tell you not what to change, what to do. I've learned the hard way. I've learned the hard way because I've buried a lot of them. I'm the oldest of six, and I'm the only one alive. King Alcohol took them all. That lady I was telling you about, my mom, she was 52 years old when I pulled the plug on that woman. King Alcohol took her, and I had to take and unplug it. That was the hardest thing I ever did. I did that 3 years before I got sober. I went on my last drunk after pulling that plug, and the hell that I went through, you will not understand. It was amazing that I came back. It was amazing that I came back. And so to be clean and sober today and to have a life that I've acquired, you know, to be able to represent Alcoholics Anonymous on the Central Coast is a blessing. See, because they, you guys voted me to be what they call a DCM. It's more. There's so much about Alcoholics Anonymous that'll blow your mind. Blow your mind. Just unbelievable stuff out there. You know? And I get to meet people that are amazing. I get to meet people that are amazing. And every 5 years, I get to go and get together with all these people and hold hands. 75,000 people holding hands. It's the most badass thing you'll ever experience. Guess what they say? God. The God of my understanding, you wouldn't understand. Because I can call him whatever the fuck I want, as long as I call him. The God of my understanding is the God of my understanding. You got to find your own God of your own understanding, but there is a God that we have to figure out. And it says it in the book. See, this isn't a religious program, guys. It has nothing to do with religion. Zero. It's a spiritual program. You can, I don't care if you call them the Great Outdoors. The book calls them the Creator. The book calls them, what's that other one? The Spirit of the Universe. I don't care what you call it, as long as it's not you. If it's not you, you got a game going. If it's you, good luck. Good luck, because it's going to get hard. It's going to get ugly. I tell a lot of people, you know, I'll be your friend. I'll be your friend. I'll be your loving friend. I'll do whatever it takes from this point on. And if you want me to be your friend, just come and talk to me. Because you know? In this book, I got right here. I'm ready. I just opened this little bitch up, and I'm ready. Let's sit down. Let's rock and roll. You know? You want to do it? I'm ready. Let's rock and roll. You know? And guess what? I get to go with the big book. I got the big book. You know? That's what it's all about for me right there. You know, that's what saved my ass right there. That's what kept me from dying like my son. That's what kept me from dying like my best friend. That's what kept me from dying like my mom and my brothers and sisters and everybody else. You know, I learned a lot from Chuck. Chuck Tyler died at 27 years old with cirrhosis of the liver. You know? And I don't want to go that way. I live the life I got today, and I enjoy every moment of it. I get to enjoy these little goonies. You know what? You want to see me back someone up? Mess with them and see what happens. There isn't a kid on this planet that doesn't have my back. There isn't a kid on this planet that I don't have their back. When that little girl asked me, "Hey, Juju," I go, "What?" She goes, "Are you afraid of the dark?" I go, "Yeah." She goes, "Me too." I go, "Cool. Close your eyes." She goes, "Okay." She closed her eyes. "Are you scared of the dark?" She goes, "No, you're right here." And I go, "Exactly. I'm always going to be here. I'm always going to be here. If you need what we have and are willing to go any length to get it, I will be here. My home group was a Tuesday night big book study. Just come. You know? I back up a Thursday night step study every Thursday night. Ask anybody. I will be right here in this room Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, in this room Thursday night at 7 o'clock. What's really funny, if you really get a chance, go check it out at that step study. We're lucky if we get two, because it's not a shit show. We're going to talk about Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you guys for letting me be a part of that.
Give Robert another hand.